There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast. Listen live weekday mornings, 8 to 9:30, or anytime you like as a podcast on the Tom Bernard app at TomBernardShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Liar. That's all I have to say. What's the buzz? Something happened in my life that I didn't think would ever happen, that I agree 100% with someone that I thought I would never agree with in my entire life. And I think it's because he dresses better than I do. John Fetterman and I agree on something. How is that possible?
What is it that you guys agree on?
Yeah.
That chanting anti-Semitic bullshit in school is a horrible thing to be doing, and it shouldn't be allowed. Couldn't agree with him more. Anybody. I don't care if you're chanting anti-Palestine. I don't want you doing that either. Why don't you shut up and do your schoolwork and maybe learn something? What do you say? Right?
Yeah, especially in school. Like, just focus, get your education done, and maybe protest after school.
Death to America. Yeah, how about death to you if you don't shut up? How about that action? Take that home with you. No, but John Fetterman, he stepped, and by the way, you missed the whole point of me saying he dresses better than I do, well, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, we know that.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, yeah, it's just a given, yeah.
I could see that he's on CNN in a hoodie. It looks like he's wearing a hoodie most of the places where, yeah.
He always wears hoodies. I don't know why he loves hoodies so much. I mean, he's bald. Maybe he doesn't like being bald or something. I don't know. But
didn't that have something to do with his like his strokes, his stroke that he had?
Or losing his hair?
No, I thought it was because he had a medical condition and then he had like a stroke or something.
Oh, okay.
And then that like it's more comfortable for him, so his body reacts to it better. I don't know. It was something along those lines.
Well, like I said, he dresses better than I do. It's all I know. It's just a given, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, I don't understand why any school allows anybody to chant against anyone. No, you're at school here. This is not, you know, bringing your parents' bullshit into school with you, who your parents support and who they don't support. I don't want to hear death to America, death to Israel, death to Palestine. I don't want to hear any of it. Shut up. We're trying to solve a problem here, right?
Yeah, and supporting one thing, I think, shouldn't, like, one cause shouldn't mean that you're, you know, death to another group of people.
Exactly. You know, there are some people I'd love to kill, but I haven't. Ooh, they don't even deny that. I mean,
I'm sure everybody's got a list of at least one person that
that they'd like to
kill.
They're
like, you know what, that guy, that random person that cut me off in traffic, you know, May 8th, 2003, I'm going to find that guy.
It's a good example. Yeah, if we could just cut back on all that hatred for just a bit, you think it'd be great if we didn't have hatred wasn't allowed for like a week?
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, like the anti-purge concept, rather than having like a purge where you have one day of a bunch of crime, just one week of nobody can say anything negative about anybody else.
I just don't. First of all, do you know how much energy it takes to hate anyone? I don't hate anybody. There are people I don't like. There are people I don't want to be around, but I don't hate them because I wouldn't waste my time hating them. Right?
Right. It takes a lot of energy out of you to hate somebody.
Calm down. I mean, have a good life. Watch Fallout because there's no violence in it at all. Got to watch that last night. Holy God.
What'd you think?
It's extremely violent, I will tell you.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. So far, I can't really tell if I'm going to like it or not. I think the acting in it is terrific. But you know what's funny? Catherine and I both thought, you know, Leslie Uggams, the black woman in it, very, very famous woman.
Yeah.
For the first 15 minutes, Catherine and I thought it was O'Hara. What was her name again? What was O'Hara's name from Star Trek? What the hell was her real name again? I used to know this. But yeah, it's Leslie Uggams. It's not her. So it all worked out in the end. What the hell was her name again? O'Hara, her real name. Remember, she was making out with Captain Kirk. Remember that? That was a big deal on TV, a black woman making
Michelle
out with
Nichols?
A white guy. No, that's not it.
Okay.
I don't think. O'Hara?
Yeah, so it looks like she's been played by Nichelle Nichols, Zoe Saldana, but that's super new, so I doubt it's that.
Yeah, yeah.
Fusum Olgak and Celia Gooding.
That's my real name. Fusum Olgak is my real name. How did they know that? Thank you very much. Well, maybe I'm right. Maybe it is Nichelle Nichols.
Yeah,
I thought
she's got the same kind of fro in this picture that I'm looking at as the lady in Fallout.
But that's Leslie Uggams.
Oh.
The lady in Fallout is Leslie Uggams. We're talking about Uhura from Star Trek.
Yeah, it looks like it was played by Nichelle Nichols.
Is it? It's Nichelle Nichols. Okay.
Yeah.
She was very good. She popped on the show a couple of times when I was at the queue. She's a very, very pleasant person. No question about it. So that's always nice to see, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And Fallout, I will warn you because I've finished it. It does kind of slow down a little bit at the last couple episodes because mostly I think they're setting up for season two.
Oh,
but it is a little tough to get through the last few episodes.
Yeah, maybe I don't want to do that then. I slogging through. I got to be honest with you. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. I watched it because Catherine wanted to watch it. What I thought was season five. Was that the last season of Fargo?
Yep.
I thought that season was terrible.
And yeah.
One of the reasons I thought it was terrible because John Hamm was horrendous. He is not a tough guy. I cannot buy him as a tough guy at all.
No. I always think of him. What was the show that he was in?
Mad Men. Don Draper.
Before Mad Men.
Oh, before.
I don't know. God,
I feel like there was something else that I always think of him from, and I'm like, you can't be a tough guy.
No, he was great, I thought, in Mad Men. I thought he was terrific in that show, so I'm not anti-John Hamm. Mm. It's just I can't buy him as a tough guy. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. So I don't know. I shouldn't say it was horrible, but it was just very mediocre, I thought. It was okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one thing that sucks about shows where it's, what are they called, where they don't have one continuous story season to season. But they were so, like, season one was fantastic, and then they kind of hit the whole reset button, and that's a big risk when you're like, oh, I already liked these characters, I like this story, and now you have this whole new concept.
Yeah, if any of the Coen brothers want to call in and argue with me, what's the number again, 952-something?
Yeah, 952-625-75.
Coen brother, call in.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be on the KQ Morning Show one time, and they never showed up because apparently they're very political people.
Huh.
Yeah, they got their deep political beliefs. Is there something wrong with people that have deep political beliefs? Because either it's left or right. I don't have deep political beliefs because most of it's bullshit anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's something wrong with them. Like, cool if you have deep political beliefs. But, like, the people that, when they are talking about their deep political beliefs, then they argue. That's their default tone of voice. It's like, okay, something is wrong with you. Like, I'm not here to argue about whatever it is that you're so passionate about.
I still understand we have different lives. We're not the same person. You live your life, I'll live mine. Why would you need to criticize me or me criticize you? We have different lives. We didn't come up the same way. Relax. And you don't really want to lean too heavily one way because they take over and screw up everything. So relax, calm down.
Right. Give it a week, and your side will probably do something that pisses you off too.
Yeah, exactly. it'll all work out in the end. Oh my God, that first. Did we come on time? Because that was a very quick 10 minutes. If we did.
Yeah. Maybe about a minute late. I bet you Joe in Louisville probably would let us know punctuality wise. But I think we were about right on time.
So we're 2 minutes late, is that what you're saying?
Maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah, see, there you go.
I think we're one, but whenever the show starts, it's right on time.
After just a few months, I can read both of your tones knowing you're lying. That's all I have to say. Oh, yeah, it was right on time. Absolutely it was. No question. It's like, settle down, you couple of pills over there. All right, we shall take a break. Be right back. I did not check out. I did talk to Judd for the first two outs of the first inning, and then I just turned away. So I have no idea how the game turned out, but my guess is they got their ass handed to them yet again. That's my guess. But we'll find out right after this. When you go to a restaurant, You expect the chef to be an expert. Yes, I do. I'd like to not die from the food. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. Again, yes, I want them to be an expert because I don't want to get in head-on collisions because my steering doesn't work. See, the deal is you judge them both by the results of their work. I couldn't agree more. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market. He understands the economy. He knows how to plan for your retirement. So don't put it off another day. The man with your plan, his name is Josh Arnold, good friend of mine. Call Josh now for no obligation, 48-minute evaluation. You got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That number again is 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk, of course. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Thomas Barnard is a paid endorser.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
You know, I've been singing that jingle to Mike for about, 20 years now. Let's take a second to talk about my bank. That would be North American Banking Company. You've heard me talk about them for a long time now. Mike Bilski is one of my best friends, as a matter of fact. Don't tell him I said that, though. When they opened in 1998, they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers, where you know your banker and they know you. While a lot has changed since 1998, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities has not. So, if you're looking for a better banking experience, why not bank with my bankers at North American Banking Company? Go to nabankco.com or stop by any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations. Yeah, 6 of them. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is the Tom Barnard Podcast.
All right, Judd's on with us. We got Tevin, we got AJ, we got Judd, we got Thomas B., and we got a team. Boy, do we have a team, Judd.
You know that note I sent you early in the game last night?
Yes, sir.
It didn't get better.
No.
11-3, they lost.
Oh, God.
Chris Paddock got the start. Second consecutive awful start. It was Louis Varland a couple nights ago. Last night, Paddock actually, it was so bad that he was being praised post-game for telling Rocco he wanted to stay in the game to pitch 5 1/3 just to help the bullpen out because he gave up 9 runs and they were all earned. So he basically said, give me 10 more pitches. His exact words were, I know this is rough, but give me 10 more pitches because I think I can help save the bullpen a little bit.
This team, we are edging toward, every day we edge closer and closer to maybe the worst Twins team I've ever seen. They are terrible.
Wow, the 82 team was pretty spectacularly bad the first year in the Metrodome with your boys, Hervik and Gaetti, you know.
That's right.
That team,
Roy Smalley.
Didn't that team win like 60 games?
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Why does God do this to me? He knows, you know, spring's here.
Yep.
We're moving forward towards summer. Baseball's along. Their team's, you know, 12-4. They're doing pretty well. No, God, don't worry about me. That's all I have to say.
I don't know, but this ain't good. And the thing about it is, so they do have key guys out, but the last two games are pitching. Like, that was, at least in Detroit, the pitching was pretty good. Like, you can say, okay, they've got guys out, so, you know, yes, the bats are scuffling, struggling, have been horse bleep, I don't know what you want to call it, but when the starting pitching, you know, the guys that they're counting on are this bad, you got no chance.
Well, and the other thing is, it's not just the hitting and the pitching. Their defense is horrible.
Yeah. Oh God, it was bad again last night.
Was it really?
But you know, but I mean, when you don't have Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa, the left side of your infield isn't great. But I mean, Tom, they were down 7-0 after 3 last night, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're absolutely. Why does God do this to me? Well, I just don't understand. It's me personally.
He gave you two World Series. That's why he gave the he gave at least two people on the show 2 World Series championships, and then obviously yanked the carpet after that.
You know what I love about it? God, remember Andy when the Twins used to win the World Series? He goes, the last World Series they won, I was 3. So I'm like, I guess you got a good point there.
Yeah, he ain't gonna have us. That's the problem. Is like we are when we complain, it's like at least we saw not one but 2.
Yes.
Everybody else, no Super Bowls as we've talked about, no NBA championships, no Stanley Cups, and no World Series since 1991, which now is eternity ago.
Yeah, but at least the University of Minnesota football team won the national title in 1961. So you know.
Yeah, 8 years before I was born, and I'm 54.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
It's horrendous. Why does that happen in Minnesota? I just don't get it.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Don't get it. They must think that Minnesotans will be patient and they'll just put up with their crap, I would think. They must believe that.
Yeah, well, and now the Wolves start the playoffs on Saturday. Mm-hmm. 2:30, of course, they're playing the Phoenix Suns, who beat them 3 times this season.
Yeah, they can't win that series, can they? I'm asking all 3 of you, by the way, and the listeners.
Tevin, go ahead. You take this. I've been the bearer of bad news since I started this segment.
It's going to be tough. I think that it'll probably be a 6-game series, 7-game series type of situation. But yeah, it doesn't feel good to know that we're playing the Suns.
Right.
Like it feels kind of like a letdown. Like we did all this work to be number one in the West all year, and now we have to go up against freaking Kevin Durant and Booker and the Suns team who's just killed us by double digits every time we've played them. Not great.
It is unfortunate. Although there is balance in life, because I was a Boston Celtics fan for years and years. The reason I started watching him is because Kevin McHale went to the University of Minnesota to the Boston Celtics. And how did God pay me back? I had to meet Kevin McHale, which is not a nice experience. I will tell you that. You ever met Kevin?
A couple times, but not long. You know what? I'm surprised, though, because, you know, McHale is a player.
He's a great player.
The media loved him, too.
Yep.
Like, he was the go-to quote. And, like I'm surprised. I know when the Timberwolves went south, it got ugly with him.
Yes.
Like he couldn't take the criticism. But I'm surprised that in your days being a Celtics fan, that you didn't love him personally, because everything I heard about him as a player when it comes to like the media was really positive. But, you know, since the Wolves went bad, he's basically fallen off the map.
Now, I got to be honest with you. I did like him a lot when he was with the Celtics. You know, he and Bird and Robert Parrish. I mean, God, look at that team. And the first few times I had lunch with Kevin McHale a couple times when I first met him, it was very, very pleasant. But then I criticized the team and he got so pissed off at me, I never talked to him again.
Oh, okay.
And he wasn't even the head coach then.
Some
side guy or something. I don't even know what the hell he was doing. But yeah, when he got pissed off, he got very, very pissed off.
Wait, so you criticized the Celtics or you criticized the Wolves?
The Wolves.
Oh, yeah. He didn't take that well.
No, he did not.
He had really thin skin, which is super weird because he played in Boston.
I know.
Like Boston, you got to have, you know, the East Coast, you got to have thick skin, man. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin McHale, you were a phenomenal player. I loved watching you play. You were on a great team and all the rest of it. But, man, you need to calm down. You're from Hibbing. You're not that big a deal, okay? You got it?
Yeah, Bob Dylan is. You're not.
Yeah, exactly. Bob Dylan's number one, not
good
you.
Good old Robert Zimmerman. He was a big deal, but not. Yep. But yeah, I was shocked that McHale, because of how he acted, and I mean, he was great. Like he was great on TV. He was.
Yeah, I thought so. Yep.
I never expected that he would be that. You know, like any criticism, he would turn on people. He'd get real pissed off about it.
Doesn't like it too much, but look, you got to do what you got to do. But Kevin, I was a huge fan when you were a player. I loved you. I thought that team was phenomenal. You were great. I guess, you know, I know it's hard to believe with me, but there are just some people that I don't mix well with. I know it's hard to believe.
No.
Really?
No way. Come on.
But now, on the other hand, I have a very, very good friend, Jim Peterson, who also played in the NBA, and I love the guy. He's a great guy.
Oh, Jim Pete's one of the best.
He's the best.
Jim Pete is the, if I can draw the parallel here, he's the Louis of Minnesota basketball.
Yeah. That's right.
Great guy. Everybody loves him. And he is as nice as it gets.
He's a great guy. Came to my house in Golden Valley once, and in the kitchen, we had one of those islands where you could sit there and have, you know, your breakfast or lunch or whatever.
Yep.
He walks up to the island and it came up to about just above his knee. Jesus, Palomino.
Yep.
Man, he's a big fella, man, but just a great guy.
Yep. And a nice career, too. Really nice career. Absolutely. Like, it's a long time ago now, but what, Golden State, Houston, played here. I think he was he crossed paths with Randy Brewer, but then was around Brewer left and played for the Bucks.
I think that's probably true. Loved watching Randy Brewer too. All those guys. I want to be very, very clear. I was a huge Kevin McHale fan, and just because he and I didn't get along personally, it doesn't mean shit. I don't care.
Right.
I loved watching, and you don't care about, you know, my morning career. So good. who cares? Whatever.
What if he did? What if he cared deeply and had all these takes and opinions about the KQ show with you?
Okay, call in. Tell me all about it. I want to hear it. Because we got a lot of that stuff anyway, so it all worked out in the end. But
yeah, of course.
No, I mean, very, very fortunate. Daryl Thompson's a great guy. I mean, there are a lot of really, really nice Minnesotans that went on to become very, very successful players. Not Herbeck or Laudner, not those two, but other than that.
You know. Laudner's on TV every night. You got to watch this crap in the studio. You should check on Lods.
I got, you know, people say this about me all the time, so I'm going to say it about Laudner. Have you ever met his girlfriend?
No.
Is she blind? That's all I have to say. I get to, Catherine gets asked that all the time, so I get to throw it at somebody else. Now, I love Timmy Laudner. Like I said, the only time he pissed me off is when he hit a one iron about 5 feet off a 360-foot hole. Jesus, Palomino, did he hit that golf ball. I used to play golf with him a lot, as a matter of fact.
He's a big guy, man.
Oh, he's a big fella.
Catcher, too. In retrospect now, I don't know how his knees held up.
Yeah, because he is a very big guy. No question about it. But that team, you got Roy Smalley. You got, you know, I just go down the list of the great people that were on that Twins team over the years. And Johnny Castino and I became really, really good friends. As a matter of fact, our families became good friends. There were great experiences. They're really good experiences. You know, same with Gaetti. I love Gaetti. He's the great guy.
Yeah. You know, it's weird that you've talked about this before. It's weird that Brunansky didn't like you and Gaetti did. I would think if Gaetti and Herbeck, which they did, liked you, I'm shocked Brunansky didn't fall in line.
I stole Tommy B from him. That's probably why he got pissed off. I didn't steal it. Somebody else did. I was a Tommy B before he was, I guess. So I don't know. Okay. Brunansky had a little edge to him. Brunansky had kind of an arrogant edge to him. You never picked up on that?
No, and we actually had him as a guest during the season that he was the hitting coach here.
Oh, yeah.
And he was incredibly kind, but that of course, was post-playing career, too. Guys do change, and so that's not completely surprising. And then there was Tommy Herr.
God, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah, screwed up Gaetti.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point. Absolutely. But, yeah, I mean, look, that's the one thing I will tell you. I consider myself to be very, very lucky in the fact that not just Minnesota Twins or any Minnesota sport, but I've met and become friends with a lot of professional players. And it's in general, they're very nice people. In general, they are. A couple of pains in the ass, but, you know,
yeah,
it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, too, from the era you're talking about, they didn't make nearly as obnoxious amounts as well.
Oh, God, no.
So I feel like they lived more, they at least a little bit more, like we live. Because, like, now I've said, if you're clearing $5 million a year, we don't live the same life.
No. That's a very good point.
Like, you are living a life that is completely out of my realm of capability of understanding.
Indeed.
But the 90s, I mean, what? The biggest salary circa 1990 was Puckett at $3 million a year, which is a lot. But I mean, that's an outlier at the time.
Yeah, it was. Not that he didn't deserve it either. He was a one phenomenal player.
Oh God.
Yeah. Once again, though, not my kind of guy at all. I, you know, he and I would not have gotten along at all.
Puck, yeah, Puck had. Well, a lot of that came out post playing career.
Yeah, that's
which.
True.
Which led to some of the problems, I think, too, because, I mean, he went from being hailed as a hero, and I mean, on the field he was, but then, yes. You know, a lot of that stuff that came out, I think, definitely changed his, well, I know it changed his relationship with the Twins.
God, I still remember walking in that restaurant, and it was Puckett's wife and a couple other players' wives, and the three of them were all getting a divorce. Oh, Knobloch, his wife.
Oh, God, Chuck.
And I can't remember who the other one was, but I walk in. Oh, and as soon as I walk in, I hear these three women go, Bernard, get over here. I'm like, what the hell is that? I walk over, and it's three women getting divorced from Minnesota Twins.
Oh, God. Oh, and you talk about a guy with problems, Chucky.
Oh, yeah.
There is a lot to unpack with. What is it about second base in this town?
Yeah.
Tommy Herr, Chuck Knobloch.
Very good point.
Come on, guys.
I tell you, though, those were the days, man. The Twins are winning and getting divorced. Oh, it's Paul Molitor's wife. That's who it was.
Oh, his first wife.
Yeah, it was not Linda. Yes, it was the three of them, and they all wanted me to sit down at the table so they could bitch about their husbands to me.
Yeah, it was Linda Molitor, Tanya Puckett, right? And then was Chuck's wife's first wife Lisa? I think it was Lisa.
That sounds right. Exactly. So I didn't want to get involved in the whole thing. I don't want to be involved in your divorce or any of that kind of stuff. But that was my role for a while. If there's something going on, let's tell Tom. He'll go after him. Like, oh, okay.
Well, I hope you said I'm still going to root for the team. Ladies, all the best in the alimony. I hope you get as much as possible. But I'm not dropping the Twins because of this.
No, that was never going to happen. There's no question about that. But yeah, some great times out there. All right, I know you got to go on to other endeavors. I'm sorry, Judd, I'd like to support you, but I just cannot watch the Twins right now. They
afternoon game today, Tom.
They want me to vomit.
In Baltimore. Great city, by the way. A lot of people hate it. Underrated city. I like Baltimore a lot.
You know what I love about Baltimore? Michael Jordan. Michael P. Jordan or Michael? What the hell was his name?
Oh, Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
The actor?
Yes, I'm talking to him one time, and I said, "No, what? Like, what's the deal? What's better, the east side or the west side of Baltimore?" And he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, is there one nicer than the other?" He goes, "No, man, it's all a ghetto." I said, "The whole city's a ghetto." I've never been to Baltimore. It's one of the few cities in America I have never been to.
Oh, the crab cakes!
Oh,
the seafood crab. Yep. The crab cakes are. They will change your world because we don't get anything even close to that in this state.
You mean the fake crab that we get?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, you are, you know, Fells Point there. You are right on the water. Oh, it's great. It's fantastic.
Hey, you know, I'm telling you what, that team, the Baltimore Orioles, were just unbelievable
when
I was a kid. Yeah. They were phenomenal. They're pretty good now, aren't they?
Oh, they're very good again now, but when you were a kid, they were absolutely Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, Boog Powell. Oh, my God, that was great. But yeah, and unlike us, they didn't tear down all of the history in there.
No, they did not.
Believe it or not.
Camden Yards, man.
Yep, I love it. All right.
All right, young man, take off. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And come on, bring home a winner, Judd.
Yeah, perhaps you can watch them again if I do. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Take it easy. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a break. Be right back in a couple of minutes. Chris Eggert joins us right after this. Tom Bernard here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Now's the time to get a jump on summer. What I mean by a jump on summer, of course, is getting in good shape so you can wear like a t-shirt instead of a jacket to cover up the lard or whatever. You could lose up to 20 pounds or more in your first 8 weeks the Livia way. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor-recommended program. And by the way, it is tailored to your unique needs. It's not just the same diet for everybody. I'm experiencing it. It works great. You have unique goals. You have unique needs, the lifestyle, that kind of thing. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way. Join Livia today and get your first 8 weeks free. So here's the deal. I've lost 11 pounds so far, which I'm happy. You know, it's kind of interesting with that. I walked 9 miles yesterday, walked 9 miles, ate the plan the way I was supposed to, and I actually gained 0.2 pounds. That's what life does to you. So don't get upset by that kind of crap because it'll come off today. You know, I couldn't have reached my goal without their help. I know that's a fact. But, you know, I talk to Beth every day, Carol, Heather. You get on the list of people. Paulie. Join Livia today and get your first 8 weeks free. Visit Livia.com. That's Livea.com or 855-GO-LIVIA. And Livia is now offering GLP-1 medications. Quiet the food noise and see accelerated results by summer. Visit Livia.com or call 855-GO-LIVIA. Start your weight loss journey now and get a jump on summer the Livia way.
Hi, guys. It's Chris Eggert from Channel 5 Morning News, along with my friends Megan Newquist and Ken Barlow. In the morning, we pride ourselves on sharing people's stories. I've been lucky enough to be part of this 5 Eyewitness News morning team for more than a decade now. This is where I've raised my kids and working alongside my friends for all these years. We're like a family, too.
We are family, Chris. Working with you and Ken and Hannah, it is such an honor to help folks start their day every morning on Channel 5. We get to catch people up on the news that's happening, and Hannah is here to keep an eye on the traffic around town.
And when it comes to weather, I know people rely on me to plan their day and get their family out the door. Over the last 10 years, there are so many memories and so many laughs. I just love sharing the forecast alongside you guys.
I feel the same way, Ken. To all you who start your day with us here on Channel 5, we think of you as family too. Thanks for turning on 5 Eyewitness News in the mornings.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
He's actually grateful. Do you believe that? I don't know if I can buy that or not. I'll ask him in a couple of minutes, or about 1 minute. Mike Lindell, MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. And to thank you, they're having an overstock clearance and new product sale. It's going on right now for the best prices ever. When you use promo code TOM, that's T-O-M. Remember, I got to lean heavily on that because it's a very big deal now. You got to use promo code TOM. It's all, I've been told that anyway. And you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived and won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98. Take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as, let's say, mattresses or mattress toppers, that kind of thing. 100% made in the USA, and it's on sale for as low as $99.99. Matter of fact, everything's on sale. The brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels that actually absorb, dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and a lot more, so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com, call 800-516-5146, use promo code TOM, and you get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-516-5146 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code TOM.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Channel 5's Chris Eggert is brought to you by Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Call Josh today for your free 48-minute evaluation, 952-925-5608. The hell are you looking at?
The color's weird on my shot today.
Yeah, you look kind of orangey.
It's very warm, very warm lighting.
It is warm lighting. You're absolutely right.
Let me blast some fluorescent right on there.
What are you doing?
Boom! Oh,
there you
there
go.
There he is.
Boom, lacka, lacka, lacka.
I don't know if that's better. Anyway, sorry.
Still too harsh?
Whatever.
No, you're not orange anymore. You're
somebody comes
pinky.
In here and they rearrange this room every freaking day, and it's so irritating to me because I'm the only one who consistently uses this as a broadcast studio, and other people come in here and act like they run the place.
I understand that. You should try working in the same Studio A in radio after, like, six people before you were there, before you got there.
I know. Radio studios are so gross.
Horrible.
Yeah, and they're like the microphone, and you're like, there ain't enough Lysol in the world to make this freaking windscreen clean, or the what do they call the foam thingy that goes over it?
Pop filter.
Pop filter also is what it's
pop
called.
Pop filter. Okay.
A pop filter.
Yep.
Do you ever have you work with somebody who left a little ass juice on the seat when they got up? Because I went through that once.
Ugh.
You did too, really? Oh, God, it was horrible. You'd have to wheel the chair out of the room.
Yeah. And
it, yeah.
Like, think how nice it would be to work from home where you know that the boogers and stuff that are on your keyboard are like, at least you know it's your own families and it's not some, God, people are so disgusting.
God, I'm just thinking about booty juice again. Joe Biden, booty juice.
That was pretty funny.
That was very funny, actually. But yeah, we had a guy we worked with, and he would leave a landing strip on that chair every time. So you wheeled her into the corner and got the new chair, and we're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not
good. Just for that alone, office furniture should be replaced every like 5 years for that very thing that you just stated. And you know, most places, the chairs are probably more like 10, 20, 30, 40 years old.
40 right? years old. They don't even have wheels because they weren't invented yet.
Right?
That kind of deal, yes. Yeah. Ah, what the hell. In any case, Mr. Eggert, twins suck. We just throw that
out. Yeah, we were just talking about that this morning on the morning news, and it was like how quickly it's gone from opening day, woohoo, to like, God, are they still playing? They were in Baltimore, right?
They were indeed.
Yeah. I heard Judd's visit Baltimore. You're getting a check from the city of Baltimore Chamber of Commerce, man. Wow.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking about. That's the one of the few cities left in America. I've never been to Baltimore. And
I've never been either. I've never been either. Tevin, have you been?
I have not, but Judd has said the only nice things I've ever heard about Baltimore. Right. So,
I mean, all I heard him say was the crab cakes are really good, which that makes sense. I mean, I would expect that there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Crab cakes there. Absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, some of the other good stuff like, the shrimp and that kind of deal.
Right.
You got to be in the right. And of course, Boston lobster is horrible.
Oh, yeah. Well,
God, is it good?
Man, the one time I went to Boston, it's a long story that needs to be told, not on these airwaves, but I went to Boston, only ended up staying there a couple of hours.
Really?
And I so wanted to like have a like actual freaking real Bostonian cup of chata.
Oh, God.
And the crap I ended up eating was like the airport at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah.
It was like Elmer's glue with some, you know, bits of so disappointing.
I love it when they lay on the act because, you know, Kristen Bird is from Massachusetts. She's Massachusetts. So she loves to talk about, and I love Boston. Boston's a wonderful place. You know why I love Boston? Because the people are real like, what the hell are you looking at? I love that when they do.
Yeah, I dig the Boston vibe. I do like that.
I do as well. There's no question about it. And it is weird walking down the streets like, oh, look, that's Paul Revere's grave. I'm like, what? What the hell?
And, like, there's regular city around there, and then there's, like, all these historical. Yeah, I did get the chance to walk around downtown for about 3-4 hours before my trip was abruptly cut short.
But and why?
I slept in the airport that night on a bench with a belly full of disgusting chowder.
Chowder. I don't want to know why you got kicked out of the city.
That is a long story.
It's a long story, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I mean, I got to get to Baltimore, though, because it's one of the few places in America I've never been.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Judd made a good sales pitch there.
Oh, I got to be honest with you. The two places that I can think of that I've never been now are Baltimore, and I've never been to Seattle. Weird.
You go. We've talked about that since I used to live in Seattle. Yep. I think you'd like it. But if you go, I would love to give you Cliff's Notes about what to do and what not to do.
Sure.
Because you know when you're visiting someplace new, you like automatically do all the hokey tourist stuff, and sometimes that's there are better ways around that to see a city.
No question about it. Most places, I got to be honest with you, most places, I would say 99.9% of places I've been, I've really, really liked. I can't really think. I don't like the highway system in Houston, but I like the town. Their freeway system is disgusting.
Well, the city is just, it's so huge. And
it
like, I mean, they've got like, you know, we've got like the ring of the freeway, you know, 694, 490, the loop. But like Houston is like that loop. Another loop. It's just a colossal place.
Now, I have to ask you, because I saw this on your TV station today, that the mayor of Los Angeles is calling upon rich people to buy houses for the homeless.
What? Did we have that this morning? I did see that, but I don't know that we had it this morning.
Maybe I thought I saw it on your news, but maybe it was on the national news.
Yeah.
I just, your job.
Los Angeles isn't really real life, right? Like, we can all just.
No, that's true. That's a very
It's a place of make-believe.
But these politicians aren't real either. They're not normal people at all. How do you come up with, I was successful, you're sitting around in your ass doing nothing, but I should pay for your house? What?
I mean, aren't we all kind of, well, listen, not even playing devil's advocate. There's obviously a huge housing problem in the United States. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people, particularly given the way things are right now with interest rates being as ridiculous, there's a lot of people who probably will never be able to afford a home because it's, you know, things are that bad. I don't know. One far-fetched idea is not going to fix what's going on with the housing problem, right? Like, and that's where these guys get in trouble and say stuff like that. And then, you know, people like you are smart enough to call BS on it. I don't know.
I just, once again, it's a big drug problem. That's main, it used to be alcohol. When I was a kid, it was an alcohol problem. And it was much more fun because you called them bums back then. You know what I mean?
You broke into a little Harry Carey there. Well, is it a drug problem, an alcohol problem? Is it a mental health problem? Because a lot of people who are in this position have never received proper mental health. And so the drugs are the way that they're, you know, dealing with X, Y, Z. And I don't know. We're a mess.
Yeah. Like, I was never a street drug guy. I still to this day don't understand why the hell you would take drugs you bought on the street. You don't even know what the hell it is.
Yeah. I guess you're at the point where you just don't care.
I guess. But,
God.
Too bad.
Somebody was just, Hannah was talking the other day about, Matthew Perry. She just got done reading his book.
He did
an audio book and, was talking about when his drug problem was the worst and the amount of drugs that he was taking. And this is somebody who had means, right? Like,
but was
still like going into open houses while he was on Friends and taking medicine out of people's medicine cabinets. I mean, that's insane. It's a guy that has everything.
I thought he was very talented. I thought he was funny. I really liked the guy. Never met him in person, talked to him on the phone a couple of times, but nice enough guy. It's very, very sad, no question about it.
It is. But
that is what drug addiction will do to you, ladies and gentlemen. I never had any desire to, these people pop, hey, where'd you get those? It's a white cross. How do you know it's a white cross?
That's right.
Like, you don't know what that even is.
And particularly now, I mean, that was back in the day. Now with the fentanyl, everything's got freaking the potential to be laced with fentanyl. And you take the wrong thing, like, you're dead.
Oh, one time. First time you take it, if you got the wrong thing, like, you're dead.
You're done.
Yeah, don't do it. Stay the hell away from street drugs. Whatever. Your dad can't be that big a prick that you'd risk dying. Is most drug addiction because of
look
dad.
Look at you dying. Look at you playing a little thinking Freud there.
Tell me about your father there. No question about it. But it's the whole thing is very, very sad. But and again, if the people in Los Angeles, the ultra rich, want to buy houses for the homeless, good for you. I'm happy for you. Right?
Well, I mean, if they're not buying them directly, they're buying them with their taxes. I can guarantee
that's true.
That.
That's a good point. That's a very, very good point.
Yeah, because tax day was Monday, and wasn't it great?
That was very convincing, yes. The visual on that was really good.
I'm working 6 extra jobs, including the Tom and Art podcast, so I can pay more money in. That's awesome.
Local rates only what now up to 15%, or it's going
up to 15%. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's freaking ridiculous.
Pretty big. All right, Pally, get off your ass and do some television.
I'm gonna go eat cheese balls. Honestly, is that we have a cheese ball segment on the show today? It's National Cheese Ball Day.
Like the puffs.
Yeah, no, like you know, something your grandma makes to bring to Thanksgiving dinner for the appetizer.
Dipping the crackers in it?
Yeah.
That kind of cheese ball, yeah.
Yeah. So that's
the other cheese balls. I love the other cheese balls because if you go to Costco, you can buy a 55-gallon drum of them. It's hilarious.
Oh, my God. The one at Fleet Farm is even bigger. You can, like, buy a barrel of those suckers at Fleet Farm, man.
I love it. I just love that stuff. All right, Pally, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, Channel 5's Chris Eggert brought to you by Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Call Josh today for your free 48-minute evaluation, 952-925-5608. We shall take a break. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes. We'll be schmoozing right after this. In addition to having the best selection in town, K&L Surplus and Ammo also can help you sell your firearm safely and worry-free. Very, very important. You've inherited a collection of firearms from a loved one, don't know what to do with them, or if you have guns you're no longer using, call Jim at K&L Surplus and Ammo. Jim can help you sell those firearms safely and through consignment and auction. I know Jim. He's an extremely knowledgeable guy, great guy, too. Will help you get top dollar, which is very important, of course. He will help you explore all the options and take the work and stress off of your shoulders. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive in Lana Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, well, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Valley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings, or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
You are indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Great job this morning by Judd, by Chris Eggert. I mean, you know, got Kristen Burt coming up in about a half hour, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more than that, but not much more than that. I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
End of an era, reclining airplane seats are being phased out. Why?
Like, are you talking about just the standard where it goes back like a little? Fully reclining, like in first class type of situation?
Well, I'll read the story. We'll find out together. Okay. What about that action?
Right.
There are two schools of thought on reclining seats on airplanes. You either think that they're one of the few options for comfortable, for comfort available, or you think they are way more trouble than a few inches of recline are worth. I've never had anybody recline so much in front of me that it bothered me. That's never happened to me. So yeah. I don't know if I just don't care or if they didn't do it.
I mean, me being a little bit taller, I've had it where they recline and it's a little bit uncomfortable, but I mean, I feel like it's just one of those things you have to deal with.
I've had it where, because they have the like the screens now in the back of the seat in front of you to like, you know,
if
you want to watch a movie or something. When they recline, it's now facing like your knees. Like, so it's, it impairs you watching and like enjoying the flight more.
Yep.
One of my favorite airline stories of all time, reclining seats and all the rest of it. I had a friend, Craig Weiss, who's no longer with us. Matter of fact, died very young. But he was on a flight, and he had not slept all night. He wrote some of the greatest commercials. Jim Paul's Valley Oats. That Craig was his writer for many, many years. Did a great job. So Craig is going from, I think he was coming back home to Minnesota from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been up all night working with, you know, people trying to get the commercial they wanted and all the rest of it. So he said, I got on the airplane and I'm just tired as hell. So I kind of just laid my head back on the chair, on the seat. He said, you wouldn't believe what I woke up to. And I said, what do you mean? I wouldn't believe what you woke up to. And he said, all of a sudden you hear, what do you want? What do you want? He said he woke up and he had his hand on the guy's shoulder and his head on there. He didn't even know he was doing it. He was laying his head on the guy's shoulder and had his hand on his, like, right titty. That's, what do you want? What do you want? I'm going to make a sexual move on you on an airplane. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Craig, we miss you, though, man. One of the great writers of all time. No question about it. But, yeah, reclining seats on airplanes, I don't fly that much anymore, to tell you the truth. We drive pretty much everywhere we want to go. Because one thing I like about traveling now at this point in my life is we get to stop at places I've never stopped before. When you drive down from, you know, one area to another, there are a lot of great places to visit in America.
Oh, yeah, especially hole-in-the-wall places, driving through some random small town. That's always nice. And, I mean, you have to have the time to be able to drive, but most of the time it's probably cheaper, depending on where you're flying, to just say, you know what, let's just rent a car and drive down there.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. So here's the deal. An article has airline experts saying that reclining seats on airplanes is in the process of being phased out for good for economy class, at least. There are multiple reasons, but the main ones are seats that don't recline. They're lighter. I suppose that would make sense. The seats would be lighter then. Yeah. Keeps fuel costs down. They don't need mechanical parts, which means less maintenance. Yeah, I don't know that I've ever... I might have reclined my seat maybe an inch or two, but I've never reclined all the way. Because I don't like this. I don't like this anyway. Like, sitting like this, I just don't care for it.
Do they even go back that far? Because I thought it
they
was
used
like...
To. They used to.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Because to my knowledge, it was like, if you are watching on the YouTube channel right now, it was like this, and then that is like...
Yeah, yeah.
That was my extent of, okay, it's that's the reclining.
Yeah, I was like, the inch that it goes back isn't enough comfort for me to inconvenience potentially the person behind me.
Yeah.
It's not worth that argument, so... Mm-hmm.
But how could you inconvenience them with only 1 inch?
I don't, like, it just...
You do.
You can inconvenience them a little bit, and if they are the type of person that is going to cause a big scene, like, my extra inch of flexibility isn't worth a scene being caused on this plane.
No question. Did you ever get in a battle on an airplane?
No. Like define battle. Are we talking, like, a WWE super slam type of thing?
Yeah, like... Threatening people, threatening to kill someone, you know, that kind of deal.
No, a plane feels like the worst place to start a fight.
Yeah,
I've never been in an argument even on an airplane, but I've seen them happen, and it's pretty hilarious, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's just like, you know, and they end up having to move one person to another part of the airplane. It's like, oh, my God, why don't you settle down? You're on a 3.5-hour flight to L.A. Enjoy yourself. Shut up.
Yeah, I would love to see one in person, but, I've never been a part of one, and typically... Especially if you're flying somewhere like tropical. How are you upset? We're all about to start our vacation.
Yep.
Let's just be nice to one another and let's get there as calmly as possible.
See, I think that's a very good point. You're going somewhere that you're going to love. Calm down.
Yeah. The only thing I've experienced is, well, I'm sure you guys have had it too, where people clap after the plane lands.
Grow up.
Yes, right.
You know what's worse than that? The people that as soon as the... boom, you can stand up
immediately.
I'm up. I'm ready. You were in row F. Sit down, buddy.
So where are you going?
You are not getting off this plane. I'm in row B. Get up, like, sit back down. Yep. Wait your turn.
Yep. I've had bad turbulence before where it was bad enough where, like, people start, like, freaking out and screaming, and, like, I sleep the second I sit down in the on the flight. Mm-hmm. And so I wake up to like the plane shaking and people screaming. And I thought for sure we were going down, like, cause just from people's reactions of, you know, babies crying and some lady like trying to get on the phone and call her husband, like, no, thank you. I'm out.
Yeah. The closest thing I ever got to that was, and I don't know how the hell this would happen, but we're landing motion. We're coming in for a landing. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they jacked that airplane straight up in the sky like a rocket, for Christ's sake. Apparently, we were going to land on the wrong runway, and there was already an airplane on it.
Oh yeah, that could have been bad.
That might have been too. I mean, we didn't even come close to hitting them or anything. That's not what I mean. But there was an airplane on the runway, and it would not have been pretty.
Oh, yeah, and all it took was one person not paying attention for you to now land and collide with that plane.
That's very, very true. I don't know. I don't fly anywhere near. Maybe you think that is because of the fact that back, you know, in my voiceover career, I used to fly somewhere like twice, two, three times a week, and I got really sick of it. After you do something that much, it does. It's like, oh God, I got to do that again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just the driving experience overall, I think, is more enjoyable.
No doubt about it. I mean, there were days back in the day before, you know, the internet and wonderful things like that, where I would literally get up in Minnesota, fly to New York, cut some commercials, fly to Chicago, cut more commercials, and then fly back to Minneapolis all in the same day. That's a lot of moving around, man.
Yeah, that is so wild. And now, like, to think about it today, where now you can just rub the sleep out of your eyes and crack the microphone and email whoever you need to, or Zoom conference whoever you need to.
No question about it. It's so much, you know, I'm grateful for the experience. Don't get me wrong. I went to a bunch of cities I would have maybe never gone to until later in life, so it was a great experience, but man, it takes a lot out of you to fly two times in the same day.
Yeah.
It does make you very tired.
Or even I think of like people that would audition for roles in, you know, commercials or movies where they would have to go out somewhere just for the opportunity to maybe get the role. And now there's like, you know, the self-submission tapes where like, just take a video on your phone of you digging through your cabinets and we'll see if you're qualified or not.
No question about it. You know, what's so amazing about that too, is you would, particularly in New York and Los Angeles. And by the way, the biggest difference doing voiceover in New York and flying in to do voiceover in L.A., the New Yorkers embraced you and said, hey, welcome to town. You're going to live in New York? I said, yeah. And we eventually did move to New York City. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. But whenever I flew to L.A. to cut a commercial, the guy from the union would call and go, why are you here? I said, because I was hired to do a voiceover. Well, these are spots for people who live in L.A. It's like, I didn't call them and ask them to hire me. They called and hired me. I mean, the union would get on your ass if you didn't live in L.A. It's not like that anymore, I don't think, but it used to be.
I would have assumed it would have been the opposite way, where New York, the union would be all over you about, hey, you don't live here if you went to New York, and then L.A. would be more nice and like laid back about it.
Oh, and nice actors? Are you kidding me? Well, it was because of the actors. It had nothing to do with anything else. No, New York was one. Everybody was very, very nice, just great people and all the rest of it. But, I don't know. I'm grateful for the experience of having done that, flown all over the United States to do, and Canada, as a matter of fact. I got hired by one place. I used to have to fly to Canada like once a month, go to Toronto. But, you know. It was a great experience for a guy in your 20s. I mean, how wonderful is that?
Oh, you're living like the dream life. You're, you know, feeling like a rock star going in. Yeah, I got to cut this commercial for these people. They couldn't find anybody in Canada that was good enough to do it. So here comes Tommy B. We're in, we're out, we're spending money, we're living the high life.
And then, of course, I took the job at KQ and they decided to ruin my voiceover career. But other than that, I am very, very grateful. Yeah, no. I still love the fact that people, because they don't agree with you or they think you've gotten too much work or whatever, they will go after you like there's no tomorrow. It's like, that doesn't make you any better. You still suck, right?
Yeah, and it's probably changed the way, too, that people hire now, because they go, well, we would love to hire you, but we know that somebody is going to dig into something you said, and so we just can't take the risk.
It's exactly what happened. It ended my voiceover career because, you know, I was called all these names, and it's, of course, none of it was true, but that doesn't matter. They don't even check. Matter of fact, to this day, if you go on Wikipedia, it still says I did things I never did. It's just unbelievable. I should sue them, don't you think?
Can you sue any money? Wikipedia?
Probably not.
Oh, because I feel like it's a public, like, because I can just go on there and change anything. Like for...
Oh, can you?
Yeah, for years, I was the Madden champion of like 2007 because one of my friends went on and changed it.
Well, so that's good.
Yeah.
So. Having to change, but... No, it's a great experience getting out there, mixing things up. And I got to be honest with you, other than the freeway system in Houston, I've loved every place I've ever been. I'm not one of those guys, I don't really like this town. Pretty much everywhere I've ever been. Now, I've never been to Seattle. And then, again, I've never been to Baltimore. Those are two spots I got to get to someday, right?
Yeah. There's not too many places that I would say are completely just trash in America.
No, no. There's always something good. I mean, Jesus, going from city to city, just some of the stuff they have, like the Philly cheesesteak. Even if you hated Philadelphia, you'd love the sandwich, so you love Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I like Philadelphia, by the way. Smart-ass people. I love that. Right?
Yeah. As long as you're wearing the Philadelphia Eagles jersey, you're safe.
But exactly,
yeah, everything
right,
else about Philadelphia is probably great. Like, you can find little quirks and or things about any city that works out.
You are right about that, though. You do not want to wear anybody else's jersey. That's not a good idea.
No. You see videos all the time. And I'm like, at this point, stop going to the games.
Yeah. Philadelphia. Yep. Why are you doing that to yourself? You know what the outcome's going to be.
Yep.
No doubt. Well, I watched the first, I guess, about the first 15 minutes of the Twins game yesterday, and they sucked so badly, I stopped watching. But there was a guy in top-to-bottom Twins uniform. He had the hat. He had the jersey. He had it all, man. And nobody was bothering him. You do that in Philadelphia, not going to go too well.
Yeah, I wonder if they're like that for all their sports. Because baseball is such a laid-back sport.
Yeah,
that
true.
You would think, oh.
No, I've seen videos of them. Conversing is the word I'll use. With the opposing pitchers getting warmed up in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Not very pleasant. Not very pleasant.
No, no. Yeah, you know, there's a line that was yelled by Harvey Cancer Mouth Brown. You guys ever heard of Harvey Cancer Mouth Brown?
That's a heck of a nickname.
That is a hell of a nickname.
I cannot tell you what he once said to Jim Rice. It had nothing to do with race. Well, it did do with race, but not being black. Mm-hmm. It had something else to do with race. Where does Rice come from? I'll just leave out the people, because he used the actual people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jim Rice, kinda, how do I know that? That's right, it comes out of, like, Eastern Hemisphere assholes. Really? That's your take on the name Rice, is it?
I think the greatest line I've ever heard yelled at a sporting event was a high school basketball game. Uh-oh. There was a kid that he had a very sweaty butt situation going on.
No.
And he's shooting free throws at the opposing student section because he had an afro as well. And so somebody that's like dead silent in the gym, and some kid yells out, "Hey, number 33, why don't you take that hair off your head and dry your ass?" It's the whole gym just erupts in laughter.
Well, that's a good point.
It was like, you know, be funny if you're going to yell something. Yeah.
I have a question for you. Why do some people have such sweaty asses? I don't have a sweaty ass.
I don't know. One of my good friends in high school, he just was a sweaty person. He would play basketball at recess and just it looked like he played a full out NBA game.
I wonder what that is, why some people sweat more than others.
Now, overactive glands, puberty probably has something to do with it.
Good point. We got to take a break. Be right back. We'll schmooze a little bit, and then we get to welcome Kristen Burt to join us a little bit after that. We'll be right back right after this.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Michael Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with many multi-generational businesses.
Take Personal Care Dentistry of Roseville, for example. Dr. Walter Hunt, also known as Painless to me, has been a longtime customer of the bank since we opened the bank in 1998.
When his son Kyle was ready to join the practice, they wanted to expand quickly.
With their additional space and equipment, they now are able to see more patients each day while providing the same level of care and service.
Okay, guys, I'll take it from here. If you run a family business or any kind of business for that matter, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers. So why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. Thank you. They're having an overstock clearance and new product sale right now for the best prices ever. When you use promo code TOM, you get free shipping on your entire order. You get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived and won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98. And take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as mattresses and mattress toppers. 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels that actually absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-516-5146. Use promo code TOM, and you can get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-516-5146, go to MyPillow.com, and use promo code TOM.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, just about 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes away from Kristen Burt coming on and ruining the show. No, wait a minute. Are we on?
Yes, yes. The hot mic situation here going.
Hot mic, man. Okay, two things. I'm just going to do the headline on one, and then the other one I don't understand at all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number one, it's National Banana Day, and 29% of Americans will eat them green. Why would you ever eat a banana when it's green?
That seems way too high.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Is it 25%?
27. Or 29, excuse me.
Jeez, people.
Why would you eat a green? Aren't they hard as a rock?
I don't think they're hard as a rock, but it's like.
Well, they're not. Okay.
I think they are a little bit harder. And then but it also has like a, I don't know, it's like a bitter taste. I don't know if that's the right. Ish. It doesn't taste good.
Oh.
I don't understand why the hell you would eat banana when they're green. Whatever.
Yeah.
This next one, I have no idea how you would find this out, how this came to be known. I will never understand. Axe body spray. You ever use Axe body spray?
Not since high school.
Yeah, I was gonna say, unfortunately, but yes, I have.
I think that's it is a high school deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was like a late 2000s, early 2010s type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how would you find this out? Because apparently it is a fact.
Okay.
Axe body spray prevents sheep from fighting. What? How would you know that?
Let me walk you through a scenario here. Sheep herder, they got a teen that's just making their way into college. Mm-hmm. They're hitting puberty. They're maybe, oh, hey, I'm suddenly interested in the opposite sex. I want to impress them, so I'm going to go to my local Target, my local Walgreens. Teenage Musk. Lathering up.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, hey, Johnny boy, before you head out with your friends and do whatever, I need you to bring the cattle. I need you to get in the sheep bin. And then they walk out there all of a sudden.
Everything's
calm. The aroma is just peace. Peace and tranquility in the sheep fields.
Yeah, that's got to be it. Because otherwise it's too much of a, you'd have to have the perfect storm of you're in the middle of two sheep fighting.
Right.
You have nothing else to separate them. And you just, I have this axe in my pocket. Let me spray them.
Hey, what is that pleasant odor? Let's stop fighting.
Oh.
Sheep don't fight when you spray them with Axe body spray. That's amazing.
You remember the TV commercials for that?
Mm-hmm.
God, it was raunchy.
It was
as close to like pornography as I feel like they probably could have done for television.
God, pornography. I've never been a big porno guy. I don't know. And I'm not criticizing anybody who is, but I'm just like, what's in it for me? I get to look at some naked picture. That's great. But then what happens? No, I'm good. I like the live action type of deal, you know?
I think a lot of people are in that same boat with you.
So, you know, they like the live action, not just staring at, look at that beautiful woman who's naked, but I'll never meet. I mean, it's great. You have a beautiful body. I'm happy for you. But it's like, I don't know, sitting around whacking a mole at the magazine. What do you got to be, 11?
Pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, God bless you. Hey, if you do it, I'm not criticizing you. That's what I'm saying. It's just not for me. That's the whole deal. But it's just not my deal. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. You can have your opinion. I mean, people that do it, you know, nobody's going to judge you. You don't do your own thing.
No. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Yeah, you're getting laid. Well, you're not really getting laid, but you're having sex. There you go. That's a better way to put it. You're having sex as many times a week as you want. So that's good.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
I guess. I don't know. What the hell? You know what we should ask? We'll take a break, come right back, and we'll ask Kristen Burt how often she looks at pornography. That'll be phenomenal. Do any women look at pornography? We'll go out with that. I don't know one woman who ever looked at pornography.
This is going to be such a turn from yesterday's, like, deep and depressing.
Oh my gosh! Segment. Yeah.
Exactly. It's going to be. We're going to light the lamp, man. We're going to have a hell of a good time, and I don't want her lying because I know you're listening right now, Kristen Burt, because you always do. So don't try to hide the fact you're deep into the porn industry. Not as an actor, but as a reader.
Does she cover like the AV? What is it, like the AVN or whatever? Like the porn championship show, like the Emmys for porn.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Cover those?
She's in like the back green room right now, but she just put in our like studio chat. OMG.
Did she really? Probably. We'll take a break. Be right back. Kristen Burt, KB2. We'll talk all about her love of pornography right after this. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
Hi guys, it's Chris Eggert from Channel 5 Morning News, along with my friends Megan Newquist and Ken Barlow. In the morning, we pride ourselves on sharing people's stories. I've been lucky enough to be part of this 5 Eyewitness News morning team for more than a decade now. This is where I've raised my kids and working alongside my friends for all these years. We're like a family too.
We are family, Chris. Working with you and Ken and Hannah, it is such an honor to help folks start their day every morning on Channel 5. We get to catch people up on the news that's happening, and Hannah is here to keep an eye on the traffic around town.
And when it comes to weather, I know people rely on me to plan their day and get their family out the door. Over the last 10 years, there are so many memories and so many laughs. I just love sharing the forecast alongside you guys.
I feel the same way, Ken. To all you who start your day with us here on Channel 5, we think of you as family too. Thanks for turning on 5 Eyewitness News in the mornings.
The new Tom Bernard Show is proud to have partners like Bradshaw & Bryant, MyPillow, and North American Banking Company founder, chairman, and president, Mike Bilski.
I've advertised on Tom's show for years, and the reason is simple. My business is recognized because of the ads, and that recognition has created growth. What business doesn't want to grow? I highly recommend the Tom Bernard Morning Show for your advertising.
Grow results for your business by partnering with the Tom Bernard Show. Visit TomBernardShow.com, keyword partner. You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Oh, is that how we're going to start off the segment, by shaking your head? Is that the plan?
That's the plan.
Kristen Burt Entertainment News brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to nabankco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. So I was trying to think of one woman that I know that that kind of looks at pornography, and I don't know any. Women don't look at porno much, do they?
Probably all of them do.
They actually do look at it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So is that the stack of magazines right behind you there over your left shoulder?
They are watching it on the internet. They are not pulling up magazines.
So they're not pulling up. That's not the old magazine days anymore. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. So you think most women do look at pornography?
I do.
I suppose. Honestly. I mean, it's a human thing.
Yeah, it's a human thing. I mean, I don't necessarily think that women are watching it maybe as regularly as men, but I do think that women watch pornography. And there is porn that is geared towards women, that maybe a little bit more softer, a little more romantic. And interestingly enough, I think you'll see a lot of women, and this has been discussed in reality shows and things like that. So this is not like, this is not groundbreaking information. Mm-hmm. A lot of women enjoy watching two women together or two men together.
Oh, really?
Even if they're not a part of the LGBTQ plus community, which I think is kind of interesting.
You ever met a woman who in the middle of it screamed out, bark like a dog?
No, because I've never been with a woman.
Maybe you were walking by and the window was open. That's all I mean.
My loud neighbors in New York City, no.
Your loud neighbors in New York. Yeah, I'm not much of a pornography guy. I mean, I've seen naked pictures of people. It's just, it's not really my deal. And again, I'm not criticizing anybody because it's your deal or whatever. That's not what I mean. It's just, maybe I'm selfish. What's in it for me? I get to stare at a picture. That's it.
I think that's why the internet has changed the game for the porn industry.
Good point. Yeah.
Instead of like just looking at pictures. That's why I think, you know, when you look at the history of Playboy versus Playgirl, for women to just look at a bunch of men's nude bodies, it's fine. You know, it's, but I think that there's a different visual there. That's why probably women probably like the videos better than the Playgirl magazine. If that makes sense. Yeah.
No, it does make sense. No question. My favorite porno line of all time was Johnny Carson. He has Burt Reynolds on his show. And Burt Reynolds was the first big, big star that did kind of it wasn't pornographic because he had his hand over his junk. So he couldn't see the weenski, but he was naked, completely naked. And his hand was just, you know, covering that. And he comes on the Tonight Show and he goes, Johnny, I got to ask you, why do you think it is that they picked me instead of you? Trying to be a smart ass, right? So Bert says, why do you think they picked me instead of you? And Johnny immediately said, because he couldn't find a catcher's mitt. Now that's a good line.
That is a good line. Johnny, and you know, it's so funny that we are even bringing up Playgirl. This sounds like so weird.
Right.
It's been in the news recently because they just did a spread with the Days of Our Lives cast, some of the men. They post in their underwear. It was something you would see similar to like a Calvin Klein ad.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was on the Days of Our Lives set last week and talking to some of the cast members who had posed. And I was like, good to see you. I mean, I just saw a lot of you in your underwear. I mean, in the soaps, they're in their underwear too. But I went past some of the dressing rooms and they had taken all of their photos and they're like, underwear and their tidy whities and everything else, and they had posted them all over the employee bulletin board, which was hilarious. And it just says welcome.
Welcome. That's good.
Welcome. But you know, for them, I thought it was really interesting for the daytime stars. They said, you know, normally I only get interviewed by like People and Us Weekly and Page Six, things like that, the big entertainment trade magazines. And for when someone dies from the daytime world or maybe a big coming or going, that type of situation. And they said, this is the first time I was actually interviewed for something else. And it was their Playboy spread. And there's, I think about four or five cast members did it.
God, it's so amazing. You know that every time I hear those words, I can hear Fred Sanford saying them. Days of Our Lives. Because every time he'd got... Hey, Lamont, what are you doing at home? No, I just came home to see you, Pop. What are you doing? Watching Days of Our Lives. He always said, Days of Our Lives. And so every time somebody says that, I hear that in my head.
Well, that's a good memory, too. I like that because, you know, the soaps back in the day were just absolutely everything. And I think it's an era probably when women stayed home, worked inside the home more than outside of the home. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to see a daytime renaissance. I'm going to call this because We have CBS Daytime adding The Gates, which will be a brand new soap opera joining their lineup next year. And then on top of this, when I went to Days of Our Lives, they've started to add like an interview studio, like this ability to like really bump up their media, do social media hits. And I'm like, I feel like we might see daytime soaps have not like a huge renaissance where there's going to be like 15 on the air. Right. But I think that we're going to see a little bit of a resurgence over the next couple of years.
Who was the guy on the soap when Jesse Ventura went on and a guy went, Jesse? He couldn't call him Jesse. Jesse, what are you doing here, Jesse? God, what the hell was that? Was that Days of Our Lives? I don't remember.
Did we look this up? I feel like he went on Young and the Restless, maybe.
Young and the Restless. Yep, you're absolutely right.
It was Victor Kiriakis, I think.
That's exactly who it was. You're absolutely very good.
Victor Kiriakis is Days of Our Lives, though. Wait. So... Victor Newman from Young and the Restless. Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. Yeah.
How are you doing, Jesse? Let me just tell you something. I'm in here having a good time. God, Jesse trying to be an actor was hilarious. Like, settle down, Jesse, with that. You know what I mean?
Didn't he do a couple of movies, too, like post?
Yeah. Yep, he did. He did what was that one he did with Arnold Schwarzenegger? It was a great movie. What the hell was it called again? It has a one-word title, if I remember correctly. God, what the hell movie was that? I don't remember. Doesn't matter. But Jesse was good in it. He was, I ain't got time to bleed. That's where that line came from. I ain't got time to bleed.
I wonder why maybe he didn't want to continue, but I'm curious because we do see obviously a lot of WWE wrestlers move into the Hollywood space. Yeah, I wonder why that didn't really hit with Jesse, because you know Hulk Hogan did for a while there. Mm-hmm, obviously, The Rock,
Dave Bautista,
and John Cena, of course.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know why Jesse didn't go further with it. What the hell was the name of that movie? It's really talking about weird.
Predator.
Predator. That's exactly. Predator. Predator was the name of the movie. I thought he was terrific in Predator. I thought he did a really good job, but he was, you know, a very angry assassin kind of guy. So maybe.
Yeah, I feel like the action space would have honestly welcomed him, and he could have, if he wanted to do it. I don't know if he decided not to do it, you could see him now in the Expendables, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh God, yes.
In that franchise, he would totally fit into something like that. So I'm just surprised it didn't happen, or if he wanted it to happen. Why didn't it happen? That would be an interesting question to find the answer to.
No, it's a very good point, actually. I just watched a couple of new things last night. I want to run them by. I watched Fallout, the first episode.
What'd you think?
Way over the top. We liked the first episode, but is the whole series that far over the top?
Yeah.
Is it? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I like that being carried out, because it's just like, oh my God. It was good. The first episode was good. Oh, no.
Based off of a video game too, so you have to sort of embrace that. Yeah.
That's very, very true. And we enjoyed it. It's kind of an interesting take on it. Starts with a wedding at the beginning, and it doesn't get very wedding-y after that, I'll tell you that.
Not one bit.
But the other thing I got, and Kristen may never talk to me again, but we finished watching Fargo season 5 last night. And I just cannot buy John Hamm as a tough guy. I just can't do it. He's not very good at acting like a tough guy anyway. Because isn't he a very tall and handsome guy? And I mean, he's a big guy, isn't he?
He's tall and he is handsome, yes.
Yeah. Most of the tough guys I know are not handsome. Got to be very honest with you. They're not handsome because their face has been caved in about 5 times. Maybe that's what it is, but. And he's not a bad actor. Don't get me wrong. I loved him on television, doing other things. So it's not that I don't like him. I just can't buy him as a tough guy. I don't know. Tevin, you agreed with that, though, didn't you?
The tough guys, tend to be a little bit shorter in stature. And, pretty boys aren't usually that tough because they don't want to get hit in the face.
That's true. I don't want to mess up those good looks. There's no question about it. But it was... Yeah, I didn't think season 5 was very good. I thought season 4 was terrific, which you hated, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite.
You hated it. And I didn't hate season 5, but I thought it was kind of mediocre. It was okay, right?
Art is subjective. That is the beauty of it.
Yes, that's very, very true. There's no question about it. But, yeah, so we kind of watched a couple of those things last night. And anything God, there was just something else that everybody's been asking me about on Facebook, but I can't remember what it is. Some other show that I got to watch.
All right. You'll have to like write it, make a note, and we'll see if we can discuss it later on this week. There's a new show starting tonight, which I think could be really interesting. I'm actually going to catch it. It's Under the Bridge. And you have Riley Keough in it. You have Lily Gladstone, the hot off of Martin Scorsese's film that she was just nominated for.
Oh, yeah.
Killers of the Flower Moon. And The Good Wife's Archie Punjabi. And I don't know. Did you guys watch The Good Wife? Anybody?
No.
That's a really good show. If people are looking to like come back and rewatch a show or catch it for the first time and you want to just dive into a world, because I think there's 6 or 7 seasons altogether.
Okay.
That's a really good one. Chris Noth is in it. You've got Juliana Margulies. And there's a famous, I'm not spoiling the series finale or anything, but by the end of the series, Archie and Juliana Margulies couldn't stand each other. So they filmed their final scenes separately. And then the editors spliced it together. So when you watch it, you're like, it doesn't look like they're really talking with each other because they're not. Mm-hmm. And they've been very classy about whatever their feud was. They've never discussed it or anything else like that. We don't know why they weren't getting along. But anytime like there's a cast reunion or anything, they will sit them on opposite sides of the panel.
Oh, my God. Is there anybody in the world that you don't get along with that badly? There's nobody I could go, I'm not sitting by them. Like, who cares?
I guess, you know, well, think about it, though. If you were doing 25 episodes a season, mm-hmm. and you were working together 6-7 years and you just didn't like someone, we don't always like all of our coworkers.
Right.
That is true. You know, I love all you guys, though. I'm not lying. But
nice try.
No. But we know that. I mean, if you're in a group of like, let's say you work with a team of 30, you're not going to love all 30 people.
No. Right.
So I think that it's like family, you know, you just learn to say good morning and just move on, do your scenes together, be professional. But I think it did get so tense at the end that they could not film those scenes together, which that's pretty wild.
Yeah, like I said, I've worked with people I didn't like at all. As a matter of fact, I didn't hate them or anything like that, but I just, you know, they thought they were a lot better than they actually were, that kind of thing. Very arrogant for no reason. I don't like that kind of thing, but I worked with them, whatever. What? Who cares? Right?
Right.
You're not working with them now.
I'm not working with them now.
Are you, though?
And by the way, if you apply for a job here, you're not going to get it, so shut up. Anyway, moving forward.
But Under the Bridge is on Hulu. I just wanted to mention, back to that. It's on Hulu, so it's already on up there today, so be sure to catch it, because I think it's a great cast.
Hulu does a great job, I think. They really do.
I think Hulu has the dramas nailed. They really know how to do a great, dramatic, scripted series, whether it's limited or whether it's ongoing. To me, that's always my go-to these days when I'm mm-hmm. looking for like a really juicy drama. And of course, you can catch everything else that maybe you're missing on Hulu. So Hulu to me is one of those like must-subscribe services in my book.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think they do a hell of a good job. You know, you got Netflix, you got Hulu, you got Amazon Prime. And then I also like the, you know, the Peacocks and the Paramounts and all that. It used to be CBS and NBC, and you don't even hear that. You don't even hear CBS and NBC anymore. It's Paramount and Peacock.
Yeah. And Peacock obviously is a part of NBC, and you'll probably hear a lot about them this summer, of course, because we have the upcoming Olympics, and there'll be a lot of integrated programming between broadcast and the streamer. So that'll be kind of it for anyone who wants to watch sports. That's going to be a must have this summer.
Do you guys watch the Olympics?
Simone Biles. Come on, people.
Oh, yeah. Simone Biles. She is good. God, she's. I mean, I have better balance than she does, but.
Tom, I would love to see you do a backflip on a 4-inch balance beam.
Isn't it amazing they can do that?
I'd love to see that.
You'd love to see me die. Thank you.
I really do not want to see you die, but I'm just saying it's 4 inches wide. It is unbelievable what they do.
I don't know how they can do it.
We will never see another gymnast like Simone. Like it's so I love her so much, honestly. Like, I love gymnastics. I always have. But mm-hmm. I sit there and think, I'm so lucky to be alive to witness this. Mm-hmm. That's what I think when I watch Simone.
Yeah, I don't. How the hell did they ever find? How do you find out you can do that? I'm going to flip over and land my foot on a 4-inch beam. What?
She was gifted even as a little one. You know, her parents put her in gymnastics class. And, you know, you have to have that coach that goes, wait a minute, this is not normal for a 6-year-old to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And then also you have to have the money. You have to have the money and to Good get point. That training, because gymnastics is not a cheap sport whatsoever, because usually if you're going to go the elite track, you have to be starting to travel internationally by 11 or 12 in the junior ranks. It's unbelievable. I mean, the good news is that sport is starting to push further and further to female athletes in their 20s, up until their 30s. So it's not, if you go back to the Bella Caroli era, everyone was like 14, 15, 16. Mm-hmm. They did one Olympics, they would get injured, they'd be burnt out, mm-hmm. they'd get an eating disorder, and they would never return to the sport. Now people are able to do 2, sometimes even 3 cycles of Olympics because better training, better conditioning, the Carolis are gone and their abusive tactics. Allegedly, but no, it's not even allegedly, we know. And I just think with all of that better training and coaching and mental health, you know, training and therapy, that helps so much too.
You just hear Jude knocking on the door while you were talking.
He's so cute. I suggested Jude as your social media manager.
So here he comes. He's coming in. We're coming in hot, man.
I've got a kitty behind me, too. See, the pets like to be a part of everything.
There's no question about it. We could close with this. I don't know why it is. I have no idea if it's, you know, likes Irish Spring or what it is. But Jude cannot keep himself from licking my legs. What the hell is that?
You're tasty, Tom.
Why would I be tasty? Oh, no, I love this. He comes in. Look over my shoulder. He comes in the room, and now he's staring out the window to get back out again.
He wants his mom.
Look at that.
Catherine, where did you go?
She let him out again, so there he goes.
He's so cute.
Jude, what a pill. All right, any closing arguments?
I have something for Tevin, because this is like the ongoing joke now. Suits.
AJ likes
Suits is actually going to broadcast. It's going to be on my network, so... if you're not familiar, that's another, it's one of the few linear networks out there. You'll have it if you have your basic, local channels. And they are going to have all seasons coming up shortly. So if you don't have the ability to see it on Peacock or on Netflix, just turn the dial. My network will have Suits coming soon.
There you go. That's all you ever do is help people.
I'm here to help. You know, if you don't want to spend the dollars on streaming, things sometimes are available on free TV, and I know Tevin is looking to watch a whole other cycle of Suits.
I will never forgive Brittany and her mom for turning this into a whole ongoing Tevin is the biggest Suits fan in the world.
I joke that, like, in my head, you have, like, Meghan Markle posters in your locker.
Yeah, it's true. All right, sister, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, and Tom, that's a good shirt. You look good. You look handsome.
For me.
I like it.
You know what that
I'm
logo
giving you a
is?
Compliment.
Well, you can't see the logo, though.
I can't see the logo, but I like the color. It, like, brightens up your face.
I think that might be anxiety. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you. You're very kind. I appreciate it. Kristen Bird Entertainment News brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to nabankco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Closing arguments?
I got nothing.
None of it?
Congrats on the Suits info, Tevin.
Yeah, the Suits info, you're covered. You're totally covered. There's no question about it. All right, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, talk to you then.
Thanks, bud.